Jesus, on two occasions, was a guest in homes, sitting there minding his own business, if you will, when on those two separate occasions, two different women came in where he was and washed his feet and wiped his feet with their hair. On one occasion, the people that were there, in fact, the host of the banquet, had indignation in his heart toward Jesus, and he said in himself, if this were truly a holy man, he would know what kind of woman that is, and he would not let her touch his feet. And then on the other occasion, the host of the home and others sat with, again, indignation and criticism, and they said, that ointment that woman just used to wipe his feet could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. Let me assure you of this. If you live for God, people are going to criticize you at some point. And they will find ways to try to discourage you from moving forward in your faith. On both of these occasions, Jesus not only accepted them washing his feet or wiping his feet with their hair, but he honored them for what they had done. And he scolded the critics. And he said to the one, he said, you know, when I came in here, the custom is that you would offer water and I would wash my own feet or you would wash my feet. But he said, you know, I got in here, nobody washed my feet. And the custom was, in fact, if you go to many Jewish homes today, I don't know many today, but some today, depends on how traditional they are, as you walk in the door, there will be a sink where you can wash your hands and a mirror where you can fix your face. You don't have to go to the restroom to do that. It's right there in the entryway. And that custom is, again, Jesus says, no one offered me water to wash my hands or my feet or my hair, and no one greeted me with a kiss, right? When people come into your house, do you greet them with a kiss? I just want to know, next time I visit, I'm just checking ahead to know if I need some mouthwash on the way in. Jesus says, you know, nobody greeted me with a kiss when I got here, and this woman's kissing my feet. So, which one is wrong? Which one has honored the guest? And so then this other occasion, which by the way is in the next chapter, the woman that washed his feet with her tears, right? Now this one in the next chapter washes it with an ointment. And Jesus says that spikenard, it is preparing him for his burial. Healthy 33-year-old man. He says, it's for my burial. That woman was none other than Mary of Bethany. Now you recall, if you think about it and the lessons you've learned, that Jerusalem, the temple, sits there on Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, and then is the Kidron Valley, where the Kidron Brook ran through there, and there on that mountainside, that hillside there, is the Mount of Olives, olive trees, where Jesus went and prayed. There's a little cave in there, and there's a place where they would squeeze, press the olives and get the oil out of it. And that place is called, y'all remember the name of it? Gethsemane. When you read that in the Bible, that's the place. Jesus told his apostles, he said, y'all go stay here, I'm going to go yonder and pray. Well, he went yonder and he prayed, and that's on that night before he was going to be arrested. Well, if you go over that hilltop, about another mile and a half, you find a little town called Bethany, a little village called Bethany. And in that place, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha lived. And in John chapter 11, verse 1 says, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. That's that Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Y'all see that? Look at verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. You see, Jesus loved that family. They were more than just friends. They were like family. Isn't that the kind of church people? Isn't that the kind of relationship you like to have with church people? I mean, there were the 12 apostles, right? But then there were an inner three, Peter, James, and John. And we see that John, you know, loved Jesus. He admired the Lord. But here it says Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It was something different. It was just another step. It was a little closer to the heart. He loved them. Remember, they came to Jesus one time and they said, Lord, we hate to interrupt what you're doing. You're teaching all these people, but your mom and your brothers are outside. He said, this is my family right here. Now, he loved his mom. Remember, when he was on the cross, he looked down to John. He said, take care of mama. He loved his mama. Don't misunderstand. But he said the church was his family. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were like family. And I'm glad that we've got that kind of closeness to love each other. Just a little bit more than just friends. Well, her brother was sick. They said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And verse number 6 says, when he heard therefore that Lazarus was sick, Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, a lot of churches fire a preacher for that. They say, you didn't come when we called you. Jesus waited 2 more days. By the way, preachers, they can't raise him from the dead. So, that, you know, there's that. But he didn't budge. Hold on a second. He loved Lazarus. You understand? No one could provoke him to love Lazarus. He already loved him. The response, his response to Lazarus' need would not be out of obligation as his pastor, not obligation because he was part of the church, but out of love. That's the way it should be. This is not a job. This is ministry. This is love. This is service. Service. Jesus didn't wait 2 days because he didn't care. He waited 2 days because he knew that he needed those 2 days to accomplish what he was going to accomplish. There was purpose to it. But he abode 2 days. They came, they said, hey, he's sick. And then they left. Jesus hung around 2 more days. And then verse 7, after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Verse 8, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou there again? They want to kill you, Jesus. You understand, if you go back to Judea, Judea is the region of the south region of the nation of Israel, the land at that time. And it included, of course, Jerusalem. And so they said, you're going to go back to Judea? They're going to kill you. And Jesus lets them in on a little secret. In verse 14, he said, Lazarus is dead. Well, hold on a second. He was sick. We didn't get a message that he was dead, Lord. We got a message he was sick. He said, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad, verse 15, for your sakes, I was not there. to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Let us go. Where is he? He's in Bethany. But that's only a mile and a half from Jerusalem. And if they go to see Lazarus in that part of the country, he might get killed. They might be killed. But would Jesus risk and hazard his own life and the lives of his apostles because he loved his friend? Because not only Lazarus is dead, but because he wanted to go comfort the grieving sisters? Is that why we're going? Well, he says, I'm not going to let anything stop me. We're going. And Thomas says this in verse 16. Now, what do you know about Thomas? Doubting Thomas. That's what we call him, doubting Thomas. The word there says, called Didymus. What does Didymus mean? He's a twin. Okay, so he's a twin. There's two of them. Brother Wiley would always say, they were twins, there was two of them. Didymus, he had a twin. And we know him as doubting Thomas. But Thomas said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. We call him the doubter. But here, he's taking a stand and saying, Lord, let's go. We don't care if there's a risk. We don't care if we have, you're probably going to die, but that's okay. We'll go with you. We warned you. You're going to get stoned. We're going to go too. Is that the kind of faith we have? Is that the faith that we say, look, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to live for God and do what God would have me to do, and I'm going to say what God tells me to say. By the way, if we'll just say what God tells us to say, we'll do a lot less talking. Let God lead my mind and my tongue and my attitude and my feet. I'm going to let God be in control no matter what comes. Are we willing to do that? Guys, let me express something to you very plainly. The world we live in is wicked. It's going to get worse. The Bible talks about tribulation, not just disagreement. Tribulation. It's going to get worse. Now, there's a chance that you will pass before you have to take this stand. But there's a chance that you will have to take this stand before you pass. Are you willing to die for your faith? You know, people aren't even willing to go to church for their faith. We say we'll die for it. Thomas loved the Lord. I know we call him a doubter. Why do we call him a doubter? Because he saw Jesus die. He saw him die. They say, he's alive. I saw him die. No, but he's alive again. I'm not going to believe it's really him unless I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side. Jesus showed up and said, look at this. I mean, we call him a doubter, but really, is that doubt? He saw with his own eyes Jesus was dead. Thomas says, I'll die. Let's go. Guys, come on. If he's going, we're going too. Wow. That's faith. Verse 17, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had lain in the grave for 4 days already. By the tradition is he's not really dead till he's been dead 4 days. That's their tradition. So Jesus waited till he'd been in the grave 4 days. Well, it says in verse 18, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Jews from where? From Jerusalem. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you, I always read this with a little bit of different intonation than I feel, compelled to read it today. Because I read about Martha when she was cooking and Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And Martha came in and said, Lord, she's not helping me. Right? That's what she said. But so when I read this, I always read Martha as saying, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. That's how I always read it. But you know, as I was reading it this week, I read it a little different. Lord, if you'd have been here, he would have died. If you'd have been, I know if you'd have been here, everything would have been okay. Not with judgment, but with confirmation. Lord, if you'd have been here, everything would have worked out. Guys, let me assure you of this. We need Jesus here. We need Jesus in our lives. We need Jesus in our homes. I saw a picture that said, we need Jesus to go to Walmart. Amen, we do. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We need Jesus. Martha says, Lord, if you'd have been here, it'd have been okay. If thou hast been here, verse 21, my brother had not died. And you read the follow-up, she says, I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said to her, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. That's not what she expected, is it? And her response was, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, look at this verse, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Shall never die. Shall never die. I like what Sister Tammy says. You're just going to change my address. And don't even forward those bills because I ain't paying them. He says, you never die. You see, because we lay the body in the grave. But the spirit, that soul, that recognition of who we are, that essence of our being, goes there. You know, we think about it and we ponder on it, and you think about that course. You know, how do we get there from here? Do we, when we leave the body, can we see the body as we leave the room, and can we see the top of the house, and do we rise up in that kind of a fashion? Does an angel, a messenger of God, just take us and usher us up there? You know, kind of like Superman. Fly us up there. You know, Sister Gladys, she didn't like that song, I'll Fly Away. And that's the reason she said we don't fly. We just rise up. We don't fly. That's the reason we kind of picked on her about that song. But when we get there, you know, do we really experience the distance and the difference? Can we look back and see as we're entering in there? Or do we just open our eyes and we're there? We talk about getting to the front gate. Let me tell you about this. There, St. Peter, as we say, is not standing at the gate checking off names and letting you in. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in this life before your final breath, you're not going to the gate to see if you can get in. You're going straight to the other place. And yes, you'll be aware that you're there. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, by the flame. Don't wait. Don't say, oh, it'll be okay. I'll get saved later. No, right now, turn your heart to God and say, God, I believe. I know Jesus died for my sins, and I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I ask you, forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. I surrender my heart to you. Don't wait. Where was Lazarus? He was in that place called Abraham's bosom, a place called paradise. Lazarus is down there hanging out with Abraham and Ezekiel and Jacob and all those Old Testament folks and anybody in between. Enoch wasn't there. Moses wasn't there. Elijah wasn't there. But everybody else we could read in the Bible was there that believed. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? She said, yea, Lord. Verse 27, I believe. I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Did y'all remember him telling her, send for Mary? I don't remember him writing that in there. Hey, Jesus wants to see you. Anyway, for what it's worth, she rushed her way to Jesus. Jesus had not yet come to town, but he was in that place where Martha met him, verse 30. Verse 31, the Jews when then which were with her in the house comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying she goes to the grave to weep there. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She loved Jesus, didn't she? I want you to know something. As I studied this and prepared for this, that's what was on my mind. Jesus loved them. And Jesus loves you. And they love Jesus. The bond, the friendship, the family, the familiar relationship there. She falls at his feet. She loves Jesus. She fell at his feet, saying again, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you had been here, it never would have happened. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You know, the Bible says to weep with those that weep and to rejoice with those that rejoice. I think it even says dance with those that dance, but we don't put that in the Baptist Bible. We don't dance. But we're supposed to celebrate. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to be happy when people are happy, and we're supposed to be sad when people are sad. If you love somebody that's grieving, there better be a tear in your eye. I don't mean fake. I don't mean put on. I mean, if you love somebody, you grieve when they grieve. I know we all grieve differently. You say, Pastor, don't judge me because I don't cry. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying your eyes will be a little wet when somebody you love is hurting. They were crying. And so the Bible says Jesus was groaned in the spirit. He was troubled inside. He said, where'd you lay him? Verse 34. And they said to him, come and see. And Jesus wept. Any of y'all ever try not to cry? Anybody ever try not to cry? I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry. What do you think was the stepping point that he actually started crying? Because this wept here is like a, that's one of those kind of things. It's not just a, not one of those. The word wept, it actually means to holler out. What made the difference? What was the transition? What was the step? At all the services we have, memorials, funerals, whatever, and people come up here and they, you know, toughen up, and then they begin to talk. Boom. They were crying. Jesus saw them crying. He groaned in the spirit. In other words, he was holding it all in. And then he said, where have you laid him? And when he relaxed enough to express those words, boom. Isn't that what happens? I know that's what happens with me. I can hold it together as long as I don't have to talk. And then look at verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Why? Because he rejoices with those who rejoice, and he weeps with those who weep. Guys, if we're going to make a difference, we've got to get where people are love them where they are. Not when they clean up, not when they get right, where they are. Love them. I didn't say embrace their sin. I didn't say to accept their sin. I didn't say to affirm their sinful ways. I said care. Love them. Where they are, as they are. And then those people in verse 37 said, if he'd have been here, he would have died. And I said, could not this man who's opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have saved this man that he wouldn't have died? And then verse 38, Jesus was groaning again in the spirit. He loved them. And they loved him. It was more than a relationship between a pastor and church members. It was family. That's why we call each other brother and sister around here. It's like family. Because it matters. Y'all know what happened? Jesus walked up to that tomb wherein Lazarus was lying, dead. His body was there. He was down in paradise. You imagine Lazarus down in paradise? How's things up there? Hey, y'all know Jesus is up there. What? Yeah, he's up there right now. He comes to my house and eats. We're like this. We're best friends. Really? Yeah, Jesus. He walks on water. Heals the sick. Oh, man, it's incredible. They say, where'd he go? Lazarus' body was in the grave. It had already started changing colors, and Martha said, probably smelling pretty bad at this point. Jesus walked up to the mouth of that tomb. He said, roll the stone away. They rolled the stone away. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Preacher said if he hadn't called Lazarus, he'd have just said, come forth. All those dead bodies would have started walking out. Lazarus. Lazarus was in grave clothes. They had wrapped him up for burial. Y'all seen mummies before, haven't you? Isn't that what you see when you look at that? He was all wrapped up. Come forth. I mean, he was trying. Jesus loved Lazarus. That was his friend. He did not come for 2 days because he didn't love him. He loved him. There was purpose. There was purpose. He whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And the people said, oh, how he loved them. Jesus wept, and they said, oh, how he loved them. We should be set apart when people look at Capitol Heights Baptist Church. They should know that we are a fundamental church. That we believe that the Bible teaches plainly how to be saved is to put our faith in the crucified Savior and the risen Lord. That he's the only one who can forgive our sins through his blood alone. They should know that is the fundamental of this church, the foundation. We believe in baptism, burying your past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. We believe in that. We believe in the doctrines of the Bible. We believe in the truth of the Bible. We believe the Bible. But they should also know we love I'm thankful to be part of this church. I love y'all. Love you. More than just friends. More than just, you know, church members and pastor. Love. The world needs to see that in us. They need to see that we care. They get enough criticism and bickering from everybody else. I know sometimes we just can't. We've got to do it. But let's measure it and see what's coming out of our heart more. Because what I want the world to see in my interactions with others is I want them to say, behold how he loved them. That's what they should see in us. As you stand, if you're here this morning and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, now's the time. Now's the time for you to pray and ask God's forgiveness. You can word that prayer, trusting Christ as your Savior. If you need help, come, I'll pray with you. Maybe here this morning you say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized, and I'm ready. You're ready to make that decision. Come, let us know. Maybe there's something else on your heart this morning. Whatever God has laid on your heart, now is the time to take care of it. Between you and God. Aren't you glad to be saved? Aren't you glad Jesus died for your sins? And I'm glad to know that when this life is over, he's going to open his arms and receive me there. That's exciting. But guys, we can be excited here and we can be happy here. I saw a hat the other day. It said curmudgeon. It's not just a word, it's a lifestyle. And unfortunately, it fits with a lot of us. We don't have to be grouchy. It doesn't make you more holy to be grouchy. So let's praise the Lord, and let's bless the Lord, and let's be a blessing to others. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?